Have you ever wondered why some leaders become successful in influencing those around them and why most leaders fail to maintain their influence and continue to lead by example? Welcome to another episode of the Lead 360 podcast. I am your host, Anthony Waite, and it's so good to be with you for another lesson on leadership. Today, what I want to talk about is the number one key to influencing other people, but also to maintain that influence and to actually add value to those you lead. And it's not a title, it's not a position, it's not a paycheck, it's not about the cars you drive or how big your house is. None of that bullshit that people flaunt today on social media. And in fact, most people today that are talking about leadership who are trying to influence other people are going about it completely the wrong way. What I have found is that most people who are talking about this subject or talking about this topic has never been responsible for leading other people. In fact, if you look at them, they probably can't even lead themselves. And I want to share with you something that I've learned over the last 20 years of leading people in the military, but also in the community, in corporate America, in my family, as a father, as a husband, and as a leader. And chances are, if you're watching this or listening to this on the podcast platform, you are looking to increase your influence, your impact, and as a result, perhaps increase your income. Now, when we're looking at leadership, people will sit back and wait for things to happen. But the majority of people who sit back and wait are missing this number one key factor, is that leaders do not wait for things to happen. They go out there and make them happen. What do I mean? They go out there and they make the opportunities happen by becoming that person who's able to fulfill those roles and responsibilities. And what I have found, contrary to popular belief, is that I have been able to get into positions that I am not qualified for, that I don't have the degree or the title or the rank or the status or whatever the case may be. And what I found is that it's not about your credentials, it's about your character. But how do we build this solid foundation to be the go-to person, to be able to help other people, to be able to nurture relationships, and to be able to be somebody who's worthy of following? I'm going to share with you today what I believe is the number one catalyst to reaching your potential as a leader. Now, when we're looking at leadership, and when I speak to audiences, I often ask them this question: do you trust a liar? Do you believe in a liar? And 99.9% of the time, the answer is no. And so, what happens when somebody lies to us? Well, we lose trust. And the same thing goes for ourselves. When we tell ourselves we're going to do something and we fail to do it, we just lie to ourselves. And therefore, we begin to not trust ourselves. We begin to not believe in ourselves. And that allows us to play small, to miss opportunities, and to not put ourselves out there for potential growth in our personal and professional lives. Now, as simple as it may seem, I want you to understand that a lie is not something crazy, that can be detrimental to your life, but something as simple as I'm going to go work out today. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to start eating healthy. I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to start treating people right. I'm going to start treating people the way I want to be treated. And then you let the currents of life, current situation, current circumstance, current reality dictate how you show up, and you start leading off of feelings. What happens? Well, when you don't feel like it, you start treating people like crap. You don't feel like it, you don't go to the gym. You don't eat correctly because you feel like eating the ice cream. Whatever it is that you do, it's the little bitty lies that build up and put these cracks in our foundation that may not crumble our character overnight, but over time, it starts to build more cracks and more cracks. And then when that storm comes, when life hands us adversity, what do? We don't move forward in faith. We fold and we break and we crumble. And we see that a lot today, where on the outside, people look like they're put together. People look like they got it all together. They talk a big game, but then when it comes time to execute and get results, they fail miserably. And so I want to give you the number one key to start leading today, so that you don't have to sit back and wait. Instead, you go out there and make it happen. So what is that number one key to starting to begin leading today? It's trust. The ability to trust in yourself and the ability to trust in your people, but even better, the ability to have your people build trust in you. And how do we build this solid foundation of trust? There's three things that I want to give you that are going to help you see things differently. And so remember, how you view things determines how you do things. And when you're building trust, there's three things that we must have as leaders. Number one is competence, your ability to understand what it is that you're doing. And competence is built through having a clear vision and understanding what the end result is, and then reverse engineering it to the now. And when we're looking at competence, and we understand what is it that I want to have, then we must understand what is it that I must do or learn. And then most importantly, who do I need to become to do the things and to have that result? It's a constant cycle of growth that we must enter and commit to. And when we're looking at competence, it could be in your profession, it could be in your relationships, but whatever it is, just look at your life and look at the areas where you're seeing the most hurt, the most detrimental outcomes, where things are just not where you want them to be. We usually change two ways: when our eyes are open or our hearts are broken. And when we become aware of our potential and our ability to grow into that potential, and also the flaws that we have that are keeping us from our potential, then we're able to grow and take action. But we must decide. Nothing I can say or do is going to change your life. Only you can do that. And I was faced with this stark reality when I was reading all these books and I was listening to all these people, and I was wondering, like, why isn't things changing? I'm doing all the things people told me to do as far as like reading and learning, but you have to stop learning and start taking action, because leadership is not learned. It's earned, and it's putting in the reps, getting the results, and sprinkling failure amongst all of that, right? And so competence is the first one. Nobody's going to trust an incompetent leader. You won't even trust yourself if you're incompetent. But that competence requires confidence. In psychology, they call this the confidence competence loop. And having the confidence to build the competence, and then learning and failing and learning and failing, allows us to build confidence in ourselves that, hey, failure is not that bad. In fact, it's part of the process, and it's, you know, part of the success. And once we start having the confidence, we take more steps to build our competence. The next one that we have to understand as a leader to build trust is connection. It's merely not just talking to people, talking down to them, talking up to them. It's connecting with them on a deeper level, understanding the human factor that comes into leadership. And that's where a lot of people fail today. A lot of leaders will be so focused on the mission that they forget about the meaningful relationships that it takes to complete that mission. And this takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort. And unfortunately, today we're marketed to in this comfort, and that we want the easy way. We want the quick fix. We want the get quick, you know, rich scheme, or whatever the case may be. And leadership doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that's long and arduous, and it takes time, and it takes understanding. It takes awareness of who we are and who other people are. And when you're trying to connect with people, in order to connect with them, you must first get to know people. And most leaders today I see walking around, they're too busy to connect. And busy is the new broke. If you're too busy to connect with your kids, you're going to have broken relationships. If you're too busy to connect with your spouse, you're going to have broken marriages. If you're too busy to connect with the people that you lead, you're going to have a broken organization. You're going to have a broken workspace. And so it's taking the time to connect individually with those that you lead. And it's as simple as asking questions. It's not giving advice all the time. It's asking questions. And when you ask the right questions, people will give you what it is that you need to know. And they will give you all the information that you need to understand. Connection comes from understanding. And so taking the time to pause and listen and ask the right questions, you embrace this learner's mindset, this beginner's mindset. And what it does is it lets people know that I want to know more about you. And in three questions that we must answer as a leader: can I trust you? Can you help me? And do you care? Nothing answers that question more than the actions you take to pause and listen and let people share what's on their hearts and minds. And so the next C that we must have to build trust is our character. You see, character is the foundation to all influence. And people will forgive you for incompetency. If you do something, you make a mistake and you just simply don't know, you will be forgiven. But whenever you lack in character, that's a different story. That is going to be very hard to forgive, because it's not a competency issue, it's a character issue. And you can't change a character issue in somebody. You have to allow them to build that character. But once it's fractured, it will always be flawed. There will always be a second guessing. And so if we take this and we internalize it and we say, okay, competence, connection, and character, I want to share with you the importance of doing this for yourself. So let's look at competence. You know where you lack in life. Like you can come into an organization, you can come into a position, you can go into a relationship. I could come on this podcast, I can go speak to thousands of people, and I can hide that incompetency. I can fool everybody. You can fool everybody. And we have a lot of people today who do that, let's say via social media or the platforms that they're on. And they can read a book, they can, you know, make you believe that they know more than what they really do. And what the problem with this is that we can fool people, but we can't fool ourselves. And if competency requires confidence, you will see somebody who will show up with a lack of confidence. Anybody that goes out there and tries to fool people, it's only a matter of time before their character is found out. And what I want you to understand is that if you are lacking confidence in your life right now, in any area, the chances are because there's a lack of competence in that area. And you know exactly where you need to grow. If it's in your health, you can look at your body, you can look at what you eat, you can look at the scale, you can find a measurable statistic that will tell you, hey, you are lacking in this area of life. You look at your marriage and you look at your relationships with your kids. If you are not connecting and you lack competence, it's because you probably lack confidence in that area. You know, if you were like me, I grew up without a father. And as a dad myself, when I became a father, I lacked so much confidence. And as a result, my confidence took a hit. I didn't believe in myself to lead a family. I didn't have an example. And so what did I do? I had to go get mentors. I had to go get people who had proven results and then ask them, humble myself to ask for help, because I didn't know what to do. And the same thing goes in my faith. It goes in my health, my relationships, my wealth creation. And so where are you failing to ask for help because you're too prideful or you're letting your ego get in the way? It's okay to ask questions. In fact, it's not a weakness for a leader to ask questions. It's actually a strength, because then you empower other people to share with you their superpower. They can give you their gifts. And as a leader, one big flaw that I had was that I had to know everything. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to have it all figured out. But if you have a heart to help people, then you will understand that that connection comes very quickly, because you're learning to become competent. And nobody wants a perfect leader. Perfection is not the name of the game. It's progression. And when a leader is able to stand in their position and ask for help and understand that I'm in progression, then it helps other people see that, hey, they're not perfect. They're not trying to portray themselves as some, you know, perfect person or some leader that doesn't have any flaws. In fact, your strength comes from your struggle. Your strength comes from the adversity and the unknowing. And when you're able to open up and share with people, then it allows them to say, hey, it gives them the room to say, I don't have to be perfect either. And I don't have to put on this mask. I don't have to put on this front that everything's just, you know, rainbows and butterflies. And sometimes, you know, leadership is a lonely ship and you're going to feel alone, and that's okay. But you have to understand, the first duty is to look at the roles in your life and understand, where do I lack the competency to help other people? Where do I lack the competency to help myself? And then go out there and ask and seek that help. The next one, for connection. In order to connect with people, you must first connect with yourself. Connecting with people means that you have to understand people. You have to become aware of their needs and their desire. But in order to do that, we have to connect with ourselves. We have to understand who we are, and we have to become aware of our needs, of what we want, and what we are trying to create. Failure to do this results in leading by desperation. And if we're leading by desperation, people can feel that, right? And leaders who lead by desperation are usually the ones that are talking down to people. They're using their authority. They're undermining people. They're pushing people down to raise themselves up. And the opposite of that leading by desperation is leading by desire. When people understand that you have a desire to help and that you have their best interest in mind, they will go leaps and bounds to help you achieve what it is you want, including the mission of the organization or for life. And one of the biggest things you have to understand is that most people are disconnected from others because they are disconnected from themselves. When we are not looking at the reality of our life and analyzing it and trying to become better, we fail to get into the game. And most people do this by numbing themselves, numbing the reality through scrolling on social media, alcohol, drugs, whatever the case may be. But when we fail to face reality, we become irrelevant. And another way that, you know, people do this is by continually reading books and continually learning and learning and learning and not putting into action what they learn. You have to put in the reps to get the results. And although I do advocate for reading, you know, books and learning, there comes a time where that stuff has to be put aside and you have to start taking action and learning from the mistakes that you make. The best book that you can read is the one that you have written for yourself, the book of your life. And I always advocate for people to go back into their life and learn the lessons. Because if you don't learn the lesson, life will continue to give us the test. And most people today are afraid to go back and go back into those times in their life where there was a lot of adversity, where maybe they failed, where maybe they made a mistake. But if you don't go back and uncover that and learn from that, it will come back and it'll bite you in the ass when you least expect it. When you go for that promotion, when you sit on that board, when you go and speak on stage, when you go in front of people, now your character's on the table, right? How do you perform in times of chaos? How do you perform? And you'll see who's been practicing in times of calm when those times of chaos do ensue, because those are the people who are calm because they understand that there's a lesson to be learned here. So I want you to get into the habit of continually learning from the past. The past is a beautiful teacher, but it's a horrible master. So never let your past predict your future. And unfortunately, a lot of people today walk around in life allowing their past to continue to predict their future. And one way to mitigate that is to go back and learn the lesson. Now, when we look at our character, this is our ability to give ourselves a command and follow through with it every single day. Your character is forged on the battlefield of life. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to fight. Their fight's been taken out of them. They've given up. They played the victim of their circumstances. They played the victim of their childhood. They played the victim of what other people has done to them. And when we do that, we fail to grow in our character. Our character is who we are as a person. Like, it's our moral fiber and being. So how do we build this character? Well, you have to have clarity on three V's: your vision, your values, and your virtues. Your vision is what it is that you want your life to mean. When it's all said and done, what are people going to say about your life? What are they going to say about you? And when you know what your vision is for your family, for your life, for your marriage, for the organization that you're in, for your future, then you can reverse engineer it to where you are right now. And then once you have your vision, you got to ask yourself, what are the core values that I must instill and I must lead by that are going to put my vision on display? What do I truly value? Because if you value fitness and you internalize that and you encompass that, then you're not going to make the decision to eat that cheeseburger, to eat that ice cream. You're not going to make that decision to not go to the gym. When you value your family, you're not going to stay at the office till 8 p.m., 9 p.m., trying to, you know, get away from spending quality time with your kids. Whenever you value other people, you put your pride and ego aside so that you can connect with them. And so your vision, your values, and then your virtues. Your virtues are the habits, the behaviors that you display, that you use to display your values. So if I say that I value my health, but then you see me and I'm 150 pounds overweight, well, those virtues do not align with the values. If I say that I value my family, my kids, but yet I'm always at the bar, I'm always out partying, I'm always out at work, you know, grinding or whatever people say today, right? Then that value is not aligned with that virtue. If I say that I value people, but yet every time that I talk to people, I'm just talking down to them, or I'm demoralizing them through the words that I say in my actions, then my virtues are not aligned with those core values. And so vision, values, and virtues, that's how you start building your character. And you make decisions based off of these three things. And most people today are indecisive. They cannot make a decision for themselves. They let other people decide what they're going to do or how they're going to show up. And unfortunately, that they don't realize that that is taking a hit on their character every single day. So making the decisions that are based on your core values, the vision you have for your life, and the virtues that you must encompass, that's how you create your character. And I want you to understand this thing too. When it comes to reputation and character, most people are so concerned about their reputation. And unfortunately, reputation is a flawed reality. What happens with your reputation is your reputation is what people say when you're around, when you're in front of them. Your character is what people will say long after you're gone. So if you take care of the character, the reputation takes care of itself. And so I want you to start thinking about these three C's: competence, connection, and character. How are you building these every single day so that you can build trust, which is the foundation of all leadership? You don't need to have a position. You don't need to have a title. You don't need to have the paycheck. You don't need to have any of that stuff. Those things are a result of the trust that you build with other people. And as I always say, if you chase significance, success will always be the byproduct. So start looking at how am I treating other people, but most importantly, how am I treating myself? You do this and you will slowly build trust in yourself and also build trust with those you lead and those you love.